As I write this into my script, it is Tuesday night about 8 p.m. I'm walking around the house doing chores and cleaning. I know I need to finish this podcast tonight. It needs to go out early tomorrow morning. It should have been out today. I'm just a tad burnt out, in all honesty. It's hard making this show. I mean, I can't just record and slap on an intro and outro and press upload. It takes me countless hours of cutting and rearranging clips and writing narration and recording my lines over and over again. And man, just don't get me started on how much it takes. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have it any other way because this style of podcasting is what I love to make and what I know I would want out of an art podcast. But being one person, it can be quite a strain, and sometimes I just can't quite get into the zone because of stress or anxiety. And that's been the case for the last couple of weeks. Every now and again, if I just try and turn my brain off and mindlessly go for a walk or go get some chores done, I just might come up with the energy I need for making that new episode. And well, that's exactly what happened today. I'm sitting there doing chores, listening to another podcast, and it hits me. I know exactly what the intro needs to be. And here we are, writing it. Today's guest will sometimes deal with burnout and a loss of creative energy. But he doesn't just make an artwork every month or every week. No, he makes art every single day. And he's been doing so for the past 4 years now. So join me as we learn what would compel someone to do such a thing and how they can even maintain that level of creativity and motivation to keep pushing forward. I am your host, Jacob Johnson. This is the My Art Is Real podcast, a narrative journey into the lives that shape art. In today's episode, Q-Lead, right after the break. If you enjoy hearing the stories about artists and their lives, and you also appreciate all the hard work that I put into these episodes, help me continue to create them by simply telling everybody you know about this show. And hey, while you're at it, if you can, go ahead and leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. If you want to support the show even more and get something in return, consider buying a print or an artwork off of our website, myartisreal.com, and sign up to our Patreon page at patreon.com/myartisreal. All right, back to the episode. Hugo is an artist who has been creating digital renders every day for a good 4 years now. You may know his work. It's what he describes as moody surrealism, and over time he has even developed this signature character who has this cube-shaped head. Sitting at just over 200,000 followers as of the day I'm recording this, Hugo has built up quite the fan base for his mysterious works of art. But I'm interested into knowing who is Hugo and why has he decided to dedicate so much time to this creative endeavor?
All right. Well, I'm Hugo. I go by the name of Q-Lead as an artist. I've been doing 3D art for about 3 years and a half. I would say my style is moody. In my bios, I usually put moody surrealist. Sometimes it's surreal, sometimes it's moody, sometimes it's both. But I like to play in those realms.
And of course, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in New Brunswick, Canada.
You know, I think this is the first guest where we're actually the same age. Me and Hugo are both 25 years old. And so we were growing up around the same time with a lot of the same things going on in pop culture. And while he enjoyed playing sports and going outside a lot, he also really enjoyed playing video games just like me. So what kind of stuff would you do for fun?
When I was younger, we used to go on four-wheelers a lot, play sports like swimming, soccer, like the usual sports. Played a lot of hockey when I was younger.
So were you doing a lot of stuff outside?
Yes. I always kind of was the kid that likes to play inside video games and like all that stuff, but was kind of forced to go play outside. Like your kid, you're supposed to go play outside. Video games and inside stuff, or indoor stuff, I should say, was always more my thing.
And so you said you, if it was up to you, you probably would have been more inside playing video games and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I love Zelda. My favorite was Twilight Princess growing up. Played it a lot. Maybe too much. I don't know.
It seems most people I have on this podcast grew up as the art kid. Hugo did not. While I personally consider video games art, just being interested in them growing up doesn't really make you seem as the artistic person to other people. So obviously he didn't have thoughts of becoming an artist or going to art school. So what was he interested in doing? So when you were getting ready to turn 18, and of course go to college, what was your plan for the rest of your life?
Like 12 grades was approaching. I think it was at the end of the 10th or within the 11th. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then it always was like this. I never thought about it too much. Like, I wanted to be a trucker when I was younger because my stepdad was trucking and I went on trips and stuff. But I didn't really, really want it to be a trucker. I would have just been a trucker by default, if you will. But thinking about it, because you got to apply to colleges and stuff like that when you finish school. So I thought to myself, well, I like games. I like computers. Maybe I should learn how to make games. So I enrolled into a game development program. And that sort of set my life up, if you will.
You know, I'm sure most of us would love to be able to make a video game. I think it would be amazing, but I don't think I'd have nearly the amount of time to do that. Not only do you have to learn to code, but you have to make the art, the sound, the story. It's a lot of work. You know, there's this guy actually from the state I live in, from Georgia, who has made an entire game all by himself. It's called Stardew Valley. And well, as of recording this episode, his game has sold over 30 million copies. So talk about all that hard work and commitment paying off. But that's not always the story that happens when you go to college for game development. Because just like art school, going into video game development might land you a job working on somebody else's game, but it's only really there to give you the tools you'll need to hopefully one day apply them into your own venture and hope that that venture works out.
It was a two-year program where you sort of learn everything regarding making a game from A to Z. In that, we learn how to do like the whole documentation of a game, like what's going to be about, how it's going to be played, doing graphics on like the buttons layout and the whole scenario, storyboard, like this whole thing. After like we have a solid game idea, now comes the programming. So we learned how to program in various languages. We also learned a bit how to do assets. We mainly did 2D assets because that's the easiest when you don't know how to do assets. And after that, we did learn a bit of 3D. Just put a face in a 3D space, then a cube, then more than one cube. And like little by little, we learn all stuff like that. But in the end, the ultimate assignment, if you will, was to create some sort of a game. Doesn't matter how it's created, just create a game that's interesting.
And as much as he was excited to be out of his parents' house and looking forward to one day making his dream video games, he got pretty bummed out when it came down to the actual classwork.
At first, it was amazing. Like me and a good friend of mine, we moved out together. So this alone was amazing. Like roommate was my best friend. Like we moved out. It's like a permanent sleepover, if you will. And then like you go to a new school, you meet new people and stuff like that. Everything was exciting. And going to school for something you actually care about rather than going to school because you have to, that was also fun. But after like a few months, the course, I thought to myself, like, where is this going? Like, we're learning like just simple stuff about more of the side of design than actually programming and building stuff. And I thought to myself, like, well, what's going on? Like, what's this course about? What's going on here? Like, what are we doing? Like, are we actually learning something? Or like, I didn't come here to learn Photoshop and stuff. It's funny to think about that I almost did drop out because of design stuff and Photoshop stuff. And now I use Photoshop every day. And I use stuff I learned in those times where I didn't quite enjoy the course, which is ironic.
This experience is very similar to how artists feel when starting out in art school. No one wants to be sitting in class drawing apples and stuff for a few weeks, but you need to lay a solid foundation so you can build on it later. That strong foundation of designs would one day soon prove to be all worth it for Hugo. but after school, he needed to find a job. So what was the next step for you after finishing school and graduating? Were you nervous about where you were going to go after that?
I didn't know what will come from my course, because I have this diploma for developing games without real experience, but I do have like a bit of knowledge in programming. That was it. So how did I feel? It was a bit scary, if you will, because like I did this whole thing, like this 2-year program, but what now? Like, what do I do with this knowledge? And also, I didn't even know if I wanted to work in game studios, because like hearing everyone talking about it, it just seemed like this awful experience of crunch times and people pushing you to pump out a game that you probably don't care about if you don't work in those major studios. So I sort of like had a sour taste of going into game dev. I was even more lost. I'm like, okay, I did this whole thing, but what do I do now?
Man, the feeling of putting all this work into something for years in school and then to not be sure it's even what you want to do anymore is tough. But regardless of this, he did have a degree that would open some doors, hopefully. So what was the plan then?
My plan was to figure out what my plan was. So I literally printed out resumes with my limited knowledge on what I knew about programming. I knew a bit of Java, C++, and Python, but like I'd say the basics. I could build stuff, but in terms of the industry, that was pretty basic knowledge. So I printed out resumes and I searched on Google, and it gave me a list of people that are searching for companies that are searching for programmers. It's not a huge town, like it's not small either. It's about like 50,000 people or so. I found like maybe 3-4 companies. So I printed out those CVs, those resumes, and I went door to door like, hey, here's my resume. Here's my name. Here's what I did. Can I have a job? And most said like, oh, okay, well, we'll keep you in mind, buddy. But one of them said, okay, cool. Well, we'll keep you in mind, the same scenario. But I did receive an email in that same week like, hey, are you available for an interview? So I went in, did the interview, learned later on in that career that my interview was absolutely shit. But I did get the job.
Getting that job pretty much came down to being in the right place at the right time.
Like it was just a scenario of they lost someone that couldn't find someone to replace them at all, senior or junior. Just no one was applying, so they just gave me the job. Like, sure, we'll try this guy, I guess. It was luck of me going into those places and finding this company that needed someone at this exact time.
Hugo explained to me what the job was. But in all honesty, it's a lot of coder jargon that I won't even try to explain here. So I will explain this. Java is a coding language and one that he was pretty familiar with. So lucky for him, most of the work was in Java. So it didn't take long for him to get the hang of things and get going.
So they just gave me a shot and they sit down with me and made sure I learned everything up right up front to be able to do the job. So they spent like a month with me. Like I sit beside the other senior that was working there, and he just like made me learn like this does that, just in like to like make me able to work on my own, if you will, because again, knowledge was close to zero into this industry. They just wanted to make sure that they made an employee they wanted.
Okay, so things are starting to work out for Hugo post-college. He stayed at the company for a few years. Later on, he and his girlfriend decided to move to another city, so that meant finding another job. And while on this job hunt, he found himself with a lot of extra time on his hands. He was sitting around, playing video games, and just not getting much done. He started paying attention to a digital artist on Instagram who worked in making 3D renders. An artist who improved his skills and grew his name by making a new artwork every single day for over 10 years. An artist that would one day sell an NFT of his digital works for over $60 million. That artist is known by the name Beeple.
I spend a bit of time just playing video games and doing nothing productive. And then I saw that Beeple was doing the everyday challenge for like 10 years or so at the time. And I had seen Beeple's work prior, like years prior, but I didn't really know what he was doing. I just saw like a couple pictures here and there about this guy named Beeple. And that it was at the end of 2019 where I really got into his art. And I thought it was really interesting to do one artwork per day.
At the same time, he was watching a lot of videos on YouTube of people breaking down and explaining different VFX effects and 3D renderings. So all of this combined with his tiny bit of previous experience in 3D really got his brain working and got him inspired.
Also at the time, do you know Corridor Digital? Or I think nowadays it's called Corridor Crew. But anyway, it's a YouTube channel where a bunch of guys are doing pretty much anything related to 3D and visual effects. And I watched a lot of those videos. And like after watching a whole lot of them, I was like, why don't I just do it myself if I like this that much? So I picked up Blender, tried to do a bit of simulation. I remember the first thing I did was like just a clot simulation, which is like a green clot over a purple bowl going over.
You know, I got inspired by these same videos and artists when I was younger and tried my hand at a couple of these softwares. And I made a couple of mountains and landscapes here and there. But while for me, it didn't quite stick, for Hugo, it became an obsession.
So I thought to myself, why don't I try this daily render challenge? I think it's interesting. I think I have the discipline to do that. Like if I wouldn't do that, I know I would procrastinate and don't actually learn Blender. So knowing my personality, I just thought like it's all or nothing. So I just did the all thing.
There's nothing wrong with playing video games. I still do it all the time. But it's always nice to have a productive hobby as well. And for Hugo, trying to make a new work every day was very fun and a great way to learn.
So I started doing the daily render challenge at the end, like in December of 2019. So I did a few weeks. Then since I was not in my hometown, I went back for Christmas to my hometown to see family and whatnot. And I missed days. So daily render stops.
But this didn't stop him from pushing harder. Because while he messed up that daily challenge, it didn't mean he had to give up entirely. He saw a lot of potential there, not only to learn, but to maybe even start making designs for a living. So he got back to it and reset the counter. And as of now, has been doing these every day for just over 4 years. Does it feel like work at this point, or do you just have fun?
Well, mostly it was fun because I wouldn't be doing it if it was only hard and miserable. But it was mostly fun. But some days, and I still get that today, some days are just not fun where you just don't want to do it. But the reality of doing something like this every day, like not all days are going to be fun. Most will. But some days, like depending on which, like what kind of day you had on that day, you probably don't want to do it.
These are 3D renders. I mean, they're not little collages or quick paintings. So about how much time do they take up every day for you to sit down and make one?
Because I do procrastinate a lot. Some can take like an hour. Some can take 3 to 4 hours. It really depends. I usually record my screen because if I want to do time lapse and stuff, I don't have to recreate the image. I could just use the real footage. And those times vary from like an hour to 2 hours and a half. But that's just actual working time. Like I pause it if I don't work on it. So like I work a bit here, then I stop. I work a bit here, then I stop. Like in the core of the image gets done fairly quick, if you will, like an hour or so. But after that, it's the tweaking, adding more details. Then the post-processing work where I don't know really which colors to use at the end because I can color correct, like I can fine tune it. And then lots of versions look cool. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know what to take. So I'll just take a break and come back.
I know that I am constantly facing creative blocks. How do you deal with that when it comes down to making new works every day? I mean, to me, that would be very daunting to try to have to come up with a new idea every single day.
Just got
to
start it. But you have to figure out an idea first, which this can take a while if you're not inspired or you have a a creative block, but once you have the idea or a rough or just a simple rough estimate of the idea. As an example, the way I work is I do an image for the day after. So the image I posted today, I did last night. I didn't really know what to do since yesterday was Sunday. So most Sundays, it's a recurring theme of like, don't really know what to do. Like, I'm just like out of the loop. But on the weekends, it's more loose and the structure, like you could do the image whenever. Doesn't matter, but still have to sit down and start. And I don't know why, but Sundays are usually harder. But for some reason, yesterday I just had a rough idea of a plane, like a grass plane, and I just started with that. It still has the grass plane in the image, but the image isn't about the grass plane solely. Like, I added like a big tube that creates a road. There's a car. There's a whole forest. Like, I built up on this original idea. So I really do believe that with creative block, you just have to start.
I love what he just said about you just have to start, because he's right. That is what has helped me more than anything when it comes to getting over creative blocks. Sometimes I record an episode with a guest and it's very simple and easy, and I know exactly what I should focus on in the episode. I get to writing right away and I finish it in no time. Other times I start a blank page for hours, even days, just trying to figure out where I want to go with the story. And honestly, what helps me finish it the most is just start writing. It doesn't matter if what I write sucks. I can always go back and rework it and change it. It's just about getting that creative engine started and moving.
If you're feeling it or not, you got to do it. It's just, that's part of it. It's truly become a lifestyle. It's not just making an artwork a day. It's a lifestyle. Like, if you go on vacation, for example, you got to figure out what you're going to do. I have a MacBook, but it's not the most powerful thing. It gets the job done, but I don't have to. But like, I like to plan out like vague ideas, like a few ideas if I run out or if I don't know what to do while I'm on vacation, because I don't really want to be taking like an hour to figuring out what I want to do. I just want to sit down and do it. And they have to be quite simple as well, because MacBook isn't the best thing for 3D work. So it really is a lifestyle.
And could you tell me where you get most of your inspiration from for these works?
Sometimes it's daily things that happens in my life. Like the other day, I had a water leak in my basement. Water heater started to leak, and it was really shitty because I had to deal with it. But I did an image on that, pretty simple image, just like a water heater and some water on the floor in a room. But it created a narrative like, oh, this probably happened. And sometimes, like when I do big environments, so as an example, it's just something I think looks cool, because I really like moody stuff as a big surprise. But I like fog. I like the forest. I like green. So I just make stuff that looks like something I think looks cool. Pretty simple, like a boring answer, but I just think it looks cool.
And so, do you think now having all these followers awaiting your next work, is it any motivation for you to keep up the dailies?
As much as I'd like to say no, the answer is yes, because like, and the reason I would like to say no is because I post it online, it sort of have an effect on the motivation, even though I don't think it should, but it definitely helps having a support online while doing this. Even though I do it for myself and I do it because I enjoy it, it's nice to have support online.
And because it's been so long, how do you think you'd feel if you missed a day ever again?
If I'd miss a day, I'd be so disappointed in myself, knock on wood. Also, I don't know if I would truly disappoint someone online, because I don't know all these people, but close friends and stuff, I feel like I would disappoint them as well. Just having this set rule of you have to post something online. If I don't do it, I failed. Like it would be different if I wouldn't be posting it online. Like I would still be doing it, but not posting it online. The factor or the consequence is less. What's the word I'm searching for? It's less bad, if you will, less big.
Hugo didn't start out as the art kid. He didn't go to art school or have any goals to ever make art. He fell into art because he saw something cool and wanted to learn how to make it. He got better by simply practicing every single day. His initial intentions were just to have fun. But in the end, he started to create art. And so at this point, do you feel like you're an artist now?
It's a hard question.
Or do you feel like you want to be, but you don't want to say it? I mean, you say digital artist, but...
Yeah, because that's just the title of it. Like, if you do a certain thing, you're that, you know? But I would say I'm an artist, but what defines an artist? I don't know. Like, if you do something artistic, of course you're an artist. But what is that thing? I think, yeah, I'd say so.
What point do you think you felt that, you know, like, when did it go from this is something cool to I'm making art?
I would say that when I started looking at life, that sounded deep, but when I started looking at life with a different perspective, like because I do stuff that resembles real life in 3D, I analyze everything. So like even just going outside and look at trees and or grass and stuff like this, I'm like, that's interesting. Maybe I could replicate that. Look at those textures. That's great. Of course, those are great. It's real life, you know? I'd say how you look at life with an artistic vision. That's it. That's when you're an artist.
And he's now even looking at video games in this more artistic way, seeing how they can inspire him in his own artistic works. Digital art has been talked down on in the past, but when I started Mired Is Real, that was one reason for the name, was the fact that no matter the medium of art, art is art, and it's real art. Even if it's digital, being where you are now, 4 years deep and having people so excited to see your next work, how does that feel for you?
Yeah, I feel happy. There's a lot of people online, just like, even though I post every day, I feel like I'm spamming the internet every day because I post on God knows how many websites, like Reddit, Twitter, ArtStation, Behance, like all this stuff. Like I post the same image a lot of places every day, and every day there's lots of people commenting on it, putting like taking the time to put a nice comment on there. That's amazing to see. To me, that's amazing to see. That's beautiful.
I don't want you to hear this story and think, oh, I have to go out and make something every single day and push myself even harder and until you get burned out. Sometimes you need a rest. Sometimes you need to recharge. What I do believe we can learn from this story is that you can learn almost anything you set your mind to, as long as you put in the time and the effort and you practice. Even if you're no longer in school, it's good to learn. Find a hobby you enjoy and try to improve and practice it. That hobby could even be art. And just remember that you might not start out great, but if you keep going and making new works as often as you can and just push through these creative blocks, you will find your way. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mired Is Real podcast. I appreciate everyone who listens to these episodes. But if you're one of those people who have listened to the absolute very end, well, you're even more special. I hope this episode inspired you in some way, and be sure to keep a lookout for more. I have a lot of great episodes in the works right now, so stay tuned. And please don't forget to share this episode with everyone you know. Leave us a review, sign up for the Patreon. Any support you can give means the world to me. I will see you in the next episode.